Last week we began with the topic Living a Godly Legacy, and we tried to establish what legacies are or were, which each and every one of us knows. Because once we mention legacy, we all know it is something that somebody will leave behind for us when that person is being called to glory. We know that. There's no question about that. But we went beyond that to indicate that. For we believers, legacy doesn't get passed on or established when somebody is dying. That even as we interact with one another, even as we speak to one another, as we live and lead our daily lives, we are passing on legacies, knowingly or unknowingly, but it is happening. It is happening. And we also established the fact that a godly legacy can be left by a life that is totally and completely transformed by God. That is the beginning. By a life that is totally and completely transformed by God. But today, we want to go a step further beyond that, to establish that we can only give what we have. What you have is what you can give out. You cannot give what you do not have. I don't know whether we agree. You can't give what you don't have. What you give is what you have. And apart from that, you want to establish the fact that you and I have received some wonderful inheritance. Some of us know it. Some of us need to be reminded. So we remind ourselves today about what we are speaking to in the name of Jesus. Amen. We want to indicate that legacies are not just money or property, in as much as they include those things. But they are not totally just that. It involves a lot of things. Well, we want to indicate that as believers, you and I have received some wonderful inheritance from our Maker. When we go to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 1, we'll read from verse 4 through 6. You see, you and I have been adopted into the family of God. We have been adopted. And thank God for what we find ourselves in this in the part of the world. For this part of the world, when we talk about adoption, pretty much we all know what adoption is. Everyone, because of what goes on there, so we all know or we are familiar with what adoption is. Adoption simply means what? To permanently take over a child or children and assume total legal responsibility of that individual. In other words, when somebody is adopted, their parents surrender their responsibility or responsibilities as parents onto the new parent. You see, so we'll take our time and then break the things down to the stages so that everything will come to light.
Because the game is too much, and I said,
for he, referring to God, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world. In other words, God chose you and I before the creation of the world. Before God decided that he was going to create the universe and the world, he had already chosen you. He had already chosen me. I don't know whether that makes sense to us. But this is very strong and powerful. Before God created the heavens and the earth, before he sat down and said, let there be light, let the water bodies separate themselves into one body, let there be vegetation, before God sat down to plant all those things, scripture is saying that he had chosen you. So child of God, you are not an accident. Sometimes we feel we've been neglected. You have not been neglected. God has specifically and purposefully chosen you, called you out of the darkness. Look at the entire population of this world. But God has called you. He has chosen you. And he has not just called and chosen us. He has given us inheritance. That he has called us to be holy and blameless in his sight. God has called us to be holy and blameless in His sight. In as much as we are speaking about God giving us inheritance, there are conditions attached to it. Looking at what we just read, that God has called us to be holy and blameless in His sight. And when we continue, verse 5, He says that in love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure. I like the way the New Living Translation puts it. It says that even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. Verse 5, God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him pleasure. So we praise God for His glorious grace He has poured out on us who belong to His dear Son. People of God, Scripture is saying that when God called us and chose us, He was so delighted, He was so happy that He did so. So if God is happy and delighted that He called us, that alone should give you and myself some level of identity, some level of gratitude, some level of belongingness into the kingdom of God. There is no inheritance greater than to be called into the kingdom of God. I'll repeat that. There is no inheritance that is greater than to be in the kingdom of God. And when I say the kingdom of God, the Bible says that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it entered the heart of man the good things that God has in store for us. The good things. So our inheritance is not just entering into the kingdom of God or being called into the kingdom of God, but God has in store marvelous and wonderful things for us. Look at how glad sometimes we are when somebody sort of like gives us something. Or you have an uncle or grandparent who is passing away and he's so large that whatever he has, he gives that to you. We adore it. We cherish it. Even when sometimes we have ourselves, we cherish them. Let alone being called into the kingdom of God. Let alone being given the part of the kingdom of God. And it's an inheritance. Because in the kingdom of God, there is nothing like overtime. You don't have to go and even think about overtime. There's nothing like sickness. There's nothing like poverty. There's this song that says that joy. I'm not remembering the word right now, but what? It says that joy, oh joy, when we go to heaven. Joy, joy, when we go to heaven. Then the whole thing will no more sorrow when we go to heaven. No more sickness when we go to heaven. And that is true. So sometimes, let us not look down upon ourselves, but let's see ourselves as people of God. People who have been called and chosen. We are on a journey. You pick up very soon. Right now, it's like, so what makes it an inheritance? But it's absolutely an inheritance. It is. It is. When we go to Galatians 3:26-29. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are true children of Abraham. You are heirs. And God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. Wow. That once we are in Christ Jesus, what we have on, though physically, we might see ourselves as wearing what? Suits and dresses and whatnot. But Scripture is saying that what we have on are new clothes and they reflect the identity, the personality of Christ Jesus. OK? Okay? When you are in Christ, you are not seen as wearing pants and whatever it is, and this. You are seen differently because the glory of Christ Jesus dwells upon you. And the favor of Christ is upon you. And scripture is saying that when we are in Christ Jesus, we are heirs of the kingdom of God. And we are co-heirs with Christ Jesus. We are co-heirs with Christ Jesus. We are co-heirs with Christ Jesus. Heir and heir. Double what? Is it double vowel or double consonant? What are the grammarians? An heir. It's not a heir. An heir is somebody who has legal rights of the property of another individual. You have the legal right to the property of another. That is who an heir is. Bible is saying that if we are in Christ, we are co-heirs with Christ Jesus. In other words, what belongs to Christ belongs to you. The inheritance of Christ Jesus in the kingdom of God belongs to you because we are co-heirs with Christ Jesus. We inherit the kingdom of God with him. Sometimes some of these things are a bit difficult to believe. But it is not truth beyond what I'm telling you. It is absolutely true. You are co-heir with Christ Jesus unless you are not a professing child of God. But if you are a professing child of God, what belongs to Christ Jesus belongs to you. We don't believe it. And it's true. What belongs to Christ Jesus belongs to you. And there is no truth beyond that. I cannot say it beyond what I'm saying. What is for Christ is for you. Or it's yours. That is it. What is in Christ, or what is for Christ, or what belongs to Christ, is for you. It's yours. That's what the Bible is saying. You either believe it by faith, or you reject it, and you suffer the loss. But if I were you, I would have accepted it. Because if I accept it, if I don't accept it, it's a loss. But even if I accept it and it's not even true, even though it is true, I don't lose anything. So I will accept that with total faith and begin to walk in that faith and begin to act that faith in the name of Jesus. Because faith believes and sees things that are not as though they exist. That is what faith is. Even though I don't have it now, by faith I have it. Even though I don't see it, by faith I see it. Even though it is not possible, by faith I know it's possible because with Christ all things are possible. That is how we have to see it. And like I'm saying, there is no truth beyond this. I cannot say beyond what I'm saying right now. It is the absolute truth and it is the gospel truth. There is no truth beyond that. It goes for that to say that you are his heirs. And God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. God's promises to Abraham, scripture is saying that, belongs to you. Church of God, people of God, if we can see ourselves beyond how we see ourselves today, we need to change our perspectives. We need to change our mentality. We need to begin to think differently from the way the world sees things. Otherwise, we shall be encapsulated in our own world, lacking what God has already made available unto us. But God is saying that they are yours. Take it. Go for it. Go for it. So what were the promises of God to Abraham? When we go to Genesis 12, verse 1 through 3. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. That now the Lord said to Abraham, before Abraham, the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. Look, you are a great nation even as you are seated here. That is who you are. You are a great nation because the legacies that God gave unto Abraham have been transferred into you, and through you, nations will be blessed. He goes on to say that, and I will bless you. God is saying that he will bless you. That I will bless you. and make your name great. God is saying that He'll make your name great. He'll make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. God is saying that you shall be a blessing. You are a blessing. You are a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And if you notice, I like using God bless you, God bless you. I love doing that. You know why? Because the more I say God bless you, and because you're a child of God, I also get blessed. And it's true. Because Peter is saying that I will bless those who bless you. So if you're a child of God and say God bless you, God will bless me. If I say God bless you, God will bless me. So when I say God bless all of you, God will bless you by what? The number of people who are here. And it's true that I'll bless those who bless you unless you are not a child of God. If you're a child of God, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, you are a child of God. You are not a slave. You are not a friend, but a child and a co-heir in the kingdom of God. That is who you are. That is who you are. And God is saying that you are a blessing. So sometimes, let us not see ourselves so miserable as if we are failures, so depressed, as if we have no hope. We have hope, people of God. We have hope. We have hope. This world is not our home. We are only passing through. We are in transit. Our final destination is heaven because we are heaven bound. That is how we see ourselves. So we need to come out from the way the world thinks and assume the kingdom thinking. Because when we do that, things around us begin to change. But when you see yourself as, look, this is not possible. No one has been able to do it. And because of that, I can't do it. You are stuck right there. But if you say, look, in spite of nobody being able to do it, I will do it in the name of Jesus, you shall surely do it. You shall do it. You shall do it. Because with Christ, all things are possible. I remember when I first came into this country, after some few months, I said, I wanted to go to school. And somebody told me, you don't even have papers, how are you going to go to school? You don't even have documents, how are you going to go to school? And sometimes when you listen to what people tell you, and you accept them, you get stuck there. But when you refuse what they are saying, and by faith, you step out by faith, you will go. You will go. I did not even have documents before today's schooling. So with God, all things are possible. They are possible. They are possible. Believe it, and it shall be so for you and with you in Jesus' mighty name. Because you are a blessing. If God blesses you, nobody can reverse it. Nobody. If God opens the door for you, nobody can shut it. If God says you are a blessing, nobody can curse you. Even when they are cursing you, it shall turn into what? A blessing. It shall. It shall. Colossians 1:9-14. Colossians 1:9-14. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. This is Paul speaking. And asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. You see, somebody may ask, why is Paul praying this prayer for the people of Colossae? Paul is saying that we pray that God will cause you to understand what His will is or are concerning you. God should grant you wisdom. God should grant you understanding. Wisdom and understanding are very important. If we are to comprehend and behold what God has in store for us. For scripture says that, for lack of knowledge, my people are destroyed. But when we have the knowledge of what Christ has done for us, when we have the knowledge and the understanding of what Christ has in store for us, people of God, our attitude, our perception, our thinking, our way of seeing and doing things will be totally changed. So no wonder Paul was praying for this newly converted believers, that God may grant you understanding. God may grant you knowledge. I pray that God grants us what? Knowledge and understanding of His will concerning us. Because people of God, look, we are victorious. You are more powerful in Christ than you see yourself. You are more powerful in Christ than you see yourself. In Christ, there is no weapon that is fashioned against you that shall prosper. No weapon, if you believe it. There is no curse, no pronouncement that is made concerning you if you are a child of God that shall stand. Why? Because the word of God says so. Because you are a child of God, let me say this. I know it will bring out some thoughts. Because you are a child of God, you are not a sinner. Hello? You have been saved by Christ Jesus, and because of that, you are no longer a sinner. Though we sin, we have an advocate who is Christ Jesus, who intercedes on our behalf. That is why when we go to 1 John 1, 9 down, he's telling us about. That is not a sinner's prayer. No. A sinner will not just confess their sins and be forgiven. They have to renounce their way of life and they have to accept and confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. The provision made in 1 John is for we believers. Because after being saved by Christ Jesus, we sometimes fall into sin. I know the argument to be when somebody's lying, how do we call them? He's a liar. And therefore, when somebody's sinning, he's a sinner. But I want to emphasize on this. If you are a child of God and you sin, you are not a sinner. Though you've sinned, a sinner who lives in perpetual sin. When the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Let me just leave it that way, because that is not what I'm talking about today. Otherwise, I wouldn't have enough time to finish my stuff, but we'll talk about that. You are not a sinner. Though we sin, if you're a child of God and you fall into sin, you are not a sinner. You've sinned, but you are not a sinner. Because when you profess Christ Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, He has set you free. So what would be the essence of you being set free? Being set free means what? That particular thing or item that you've been set free from has not gained total control or has no total control over you any longer. When you sin, you choose to sin. Sin can't just come and engulf you and take you. We choose to sin because when we are tempted, temptation does not necessarily like pull us into sin. We so yield into it. That is what the book of James tells us. So we are saying that through Christ Jesus, we have inherited the things in the kingdom of God. And that is a legacy that has been passed on to us. I don't know whether they're getting it. We have received a legacy from the kingdom of God through Christ Jesus. By we accepting Christ Jesus as our Lord and personal Savior. Because we did so, whatever is in the kingdom of God belongs to us. We have inherited it. Whatever it might be, everything is ours as well too. And we are saying that the next point that I want to establish is this. We need to embrace, we need to accept, we need to know and walk in the promises that Christ Jesus or Scriptures speaks about us. It is one thing knowing what we have in Christ Jesus, and it is another thing knowing that we have those rights. It's one thing knowing we have all those things in the kingdom of God, and it's another thing going to possess those things. It is not just knowing about them. Knowing about them and walking by faith towards the thing that the word of God speaks to us about or speaks concerning us is the best thing. Because if the scriptures are saying that you are powerful, and you still see yourself as weak. We've not gotten there yet. If the word of God says you are rich, and you say, if I'm rich, what do I have? We've not gotten there yet. But all what scripture is saying about us are true and is true. So we need to walk in those things. We need to know that through scriptures, we are legitimate children of God. Do you know why the Israelites living in Egypt spent 40 years in the wilderness. Sometimes we think it is the way that God wanted to teach them a lesson. If so, it was so because of their own disobedience. The journey was much shorter than we anticipated. When God asked them to go and see and spy the land, they thought that the land was something they could not possess. Most of them despise or disagree with the fact that the land could be possessed. Some saw themselves as being what God suffered for the people. When God has said to them, or was saying to them, that I have given you that land, the land flow with milk and honey, go possess it, they were doubting among themselves. They stayed in the wilderness and spent 40 years because of disobedience. And sometimes that is how we live our lives. That is how we live our lives. So for us to live and to harness the promises of God and the privileges that we have in Christ Jesus, we need to live in total obedience to the word of God. That is the only way that we can realize and take hold of what Christ has made available for us. That is why he went to the cross, to make those things available unto us. Unto us. So that what God has placed in front of us will not take us like years to get hold of. What God needs to do for us as his children, they are already established. They are done. Ours is to live lives as he intends, and ours is to go grab those things. Let me just say this in passing. It's like even impressed upon my spirit to talk about it, even though it is not directly related to what I'm talking about. I got to know this friend through Rita back on campus. So after her first degree, she went to Norway and did her master's. The lady was Rita's friend. So through that, I got to know her. Went to Norway. Prior to going to Norway on campus, she was committed. But after campus, to this day, I know a lot of things have changed. But I don't know exactly what has changed. So she went to Norway, did her master's, went back to Ghana. So in Ghana, she had to come to the US because she had a friend who had sort of like, that was in school, and she had a friend and they intended to marry. So when she completed the second degree, they got married. This friend came to this country. I think she stayed there for about 3 or 4 years. And I honestly don't know the entire story. But after about 4 years, this lady and the husband had to go to Ghana. Even though the intentions of going to Ghana was known to the man never disclosed the intentions to the lady. They got to Ghana, they went to the lady's parents' place. The guy unceremoniously presented the case that he was divorcing the lady. Okay. And this, with all dignity, this is somebody who, I mean, she was a very beautiful lady, beautiful woman. But as to what exactly happened, I don't know. She got divorced. So it was like a big shock to her because she never expected it. They knew they were visiting family back home. So that was the end of that story. The guy left her, that was the end. So the lady started working and had a scholarship to come and do a PhD in this country. She came here, studied for about 1.5 years, and whilst in school, we actually lost contact with her. We tried all her videos, nobody could tell exactly where she was. Not knowing she was sort of like, not even deferred the course, but decided to what? To abandon the course and go back to Ghana. A program that people are paying money to pursue. You've gotten scholarship. You don't have to be free of charge. Study. We'll pay you. We'll pay your school fees. This lady, abandoned the course, went to Ghana. And just 3 days ago, through a friend, Rita was able to connect with a lady again. And before Rita even told me this story, she sent me pictures of this lady. That if I know them, I'd be very grateful. If I know any of them. And I said, no. She was just going back and forth. I said, why waste my time? Just tell me who the person is. I don't have that much time. And she was still going back and forth. I just paused. And she just took one particular individual who was the lady and just took her out of the group of the friend and asked me if I knew this lady. I couldn't let the lady out. Until she mentioned the lady's name. Somebody about the same age as Rita in the picture looked like somebody who was about twice her age. About twice her age. In fact, once she mentioned the name of the lady to me, I went, seriously, I confess. Because knowing who she is, and looking at who I'm seeing, and who in their right frame of mind will have this opportunity, go to school, will pay you, will pay your school fees. It's not a story. She was here. We were talking with her before she went back, and abandoned the course, when she was asked that the place was too cold. That is why she left the place. It's like it's difficult to put the pieces together. I'm saying this to make a point. In as much as it might not be related exactly to what we are talking about, what I want to say is that even though God has made everything available unto us, it's not just bread and butter. Maybe things might have gone on wrong, which we are not privy to. What I want to say is that we need to take our walk with the Lord seriously. Because the scripture says that God will not withhold any good things from those who walk upright with him or in him. He will not. Psalm 84, verse 10 and 11. That God will not withhold any good thing from those who walk upright in him. In other words, there are conditions attached to the promises of God. As much as God is saying that we are co-heirs with him in the kingdom of God. In as much as he said that, it is foolish, I've done everything for you. It is not automatic. And as much as it is automatic, it is not automatic. We have responsibilities. So in other words, if we can enjoy the inheritance that God has in store for us, we need to ensure that we are walking and living lives that are upright before him. We need to ensure that we are walking upright before we can claim those promises that he's made unto us. Otherwise, we will say them and they will not work. We will command them and they will not work. But if we live upright before him, you say it, right, it is there for you. You command it and right, it is there for you. In other words, what I want to say is that the inheritance and the legacy that God has given to us, they are real. And as much as they are real, we have a responsibility to possess them, to take hold of them. So that when we take hold of them, I'm told that my time is up for our 5 more minutes. Before we can take hold of them, we need to make sure we are right with God before we can give them out. Before we can give them to the next generation. Because inheritance are supposed to be transferred from one generation to another generation. Doesn't have to get stuck with us. It has to be passed on. But before we can pass something on, we must have it. You know, when Peter and John were going to the temple to pray, and this beggar who was sitting at the beautiful gate where he usually started begging for money, Peter and John had an encounter with this fellow. When they go there, this guy has always asked them for money. And Peter said to the man, look at us, or look at me in the face. And he said to him, silver and gold we do not have. We have no money. But what we have is the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. That is what they had. So we can only give what we have. What Peter and John had was what they gave out. That is what they inherited from the kingdom of God. So if we can pass something on, first of all, we need to receive them before we can pass on. So if we don't receive anything, we can't pass anything on. But if we receive a lot of things, we can pass a lot of things on. My question is, what are we receiving? Or what have we received from God? What do we have? People of God, we have a lot of things. We have a lot of things. So in as much as we are talking about legacies, and we are talking about we having a responsibility of not passing them on, we do have them. But the sad thing is that we are all Africans, so I'm free to say this. The sad thing is that we Africans in particular, we don't want to like transfer legacies. We are always seeking the downfall of each other. Think about it very carefully. We are always seeking the downfall of each other. Are you surprised we are where we are? Are we surprised? I think it's about time that we renew our mind, change our way of seeing things. Look at the continent of Africa. What there is no mineral or natural resources in this world. I'll say it again. There is no mineral or natural resources in this world that cannot be found in the continent of Africa. There is no mineral. There's nothing that you are looking for in this world that cannot be found in that continent. We have been blessed. Sometimes somebody might know something, and because when he teaches or she teaches his or her neighbor, thinking that that will call that person to rise beyond him or her, some people will die with the legacy that God has given them. Some will die with it. And I pray that none of us will die with our legacies, that will transfer them to the next generation. Okay, to the next generation. I've thought about this. I know my time is up, but forgive me. I want to emphasize that hopefully we will change this trend. God has endowed us with a lot of legacies, but we sit down and a third party sort of like manipulates us. You see that when a leader in Africa is rising to prominence in terms of knowledge, wisdom, then the Westerners will organize themselves, they will go see ourselves, they give us a few money, and then they say, look, kill that person, and we're going to kill that person. It is happening. They will come and give us some few money. Take this money. Give us this concession. We will take it, and whatever we get, we'll give you 5%. And the water that we are drinking, people of God, is so sad. I went home the last time. The water body, which is a river, I'm talking about between Kumasi and Accra. I don't know whether it's a Pra or Su or whatever river. This river was serving as a source of drinking water, not just for those around those areas, but those along the bank of the water or the river. And because of some few cities that some chiefs have taken, go and look at that water body. You can't even drink it, not even for bathing. You can't do it. People of God, let us change our way of thinking. Let us do so. Sometimes I think about some of those things and it just pains me to the heart. We can change the world through the legacy that God has given to us. We can change our continent. Let us rise beyond that. Let us not let a second person come and give us some small amount of money and then we'll be killing ourselves. It's like they are playing games with our mind. We are more than that, people of God. We are more than that. More than that. Because of the legacy that God has given us. When they see that you are an African and you are smart, they bring you here. They will get caught up in the system. And we can't even go home and develop our nation. People of God, sometimes you talk to people, they'll ask you, what is in Ghana? What is in Africa? We are rich. I'm very serious. That's why I've sat down. Let us change our way of thinking. We are smarter than that because God has given us a lot of resources. We are endowed. But unless we rise up beyond the way we see things, we shall be where we are. A Ghanaian develops, or Africa develops, what is it, some medication for COVID. It says it's not good. It's not good. Why? Because it's coming from Africa. It's coming from Africa. And it's not good, and then we'll throw it away. They'll come and take it and sell it. The last time I've been worried about this, COVID-19 vaccine. Look at Africa. Unless these advanced nations have their surpluses, we don't get some in our country. And what we get in our country are those that are about to expire. I don't know about you. It's painful. It's painful. If it's not expiring, you don't get it. We don't get it unless it's nearing expiration. That is when we get it. Does it mean that all these scientists that we have in our continent, they can't come up with any medication? Most of them got educated here, educated in other countries. We can't come up with vaccine for COVID-19. And when we have the opportunity, when they give us grant, we're always asking for grant. When we get a grant, we come and buy bread in here. We come and invest the money in this country. Let us ride beyond the legacy that God has given us. Because God has given us a lot. Yes. Let's change our way of looking at things. We are more than what we seem to be because of what God has put in us. God has invested a lot in us. You might think what I'm saying is a deviation from legacy. It's totally related to legacy because God has given us all those things. Let us fly beyond that. Let us not let the third party come and brainwash us. Especially the young ones, you are coming. Some of us are old and going. You need to stand up for what is true.